From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Perfection and Preservation. The text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. What will he do? He will sanctify us wholly. See the previous verse. He will carry on the work of purification till we are perfect in every part. He will preserve our whole spirit and soul and body blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will not allow us to fall from grace, nor come under the dominion of sin. What great favors are these! Well may we adore the giver of such unspeakable gifts. Who will do this? The Lord, who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, out of death and sin into eternal life in Christ Jesus. Only He can do this. Such perfection and preservation can only come from the God of all grace. Why will he do it? Because he is faithful. Faithful to his own promise, which is pledged to save the believer. Faithful to his Son, whose reward it is that his people shall be presented to him faultless. Faithful to the work which he has commenced in us by our effectual calling. It is not their own faithfulness, but the Lord's own faithfulness on which the saints rely.
Wonderful! Wonderful! Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can only say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary.
Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Out to all of us,
It's wonderful to me.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, The Secure Standing of the Justified. The text is found in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, which Dr. Cairns has said is one of the pivotal chapters in the epistle. Having portrayed the sinfulness of the human race, and having explained that salvation is by faith alone in Christ's substitutionary death on the cross, Paul now sets forth the glorious results of justification by faith. According to verse 1, the first consequence of justification is peace with God. Whereas once we were enemies of God and at enmity with Him, now having been justified, we are reconciled to God by the blood of Christ. Verse 2 speaks of the access Christ has given us into the grace of God. This access is our introduction into this grace, something which takes place at the moment of our conversion and which continues throughout time and eternity. Because Christ has done everything necessary to our salvation, believers are accepted before God as justified, legally perfect in His sight. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
No place in the religion of the New Testament, there's no place in the gospel message for Cain's religion of man bringing the works of his hands on the basis of which he presents himself to God. I've mentioned Romans 12, even for Christians. When they're told to present their bodies to God, it is by the mercies of God that they are thus exhorted. What does that mean? It means on the basis of all that you have in Christ, And as we were reminded this morning from Peter's statement, our sacrifices are acceptable to God, not because they're offered by Christians, not because of the best we can do, not because they're even particularly useful or successful. You think of everything you've ever done. Have you prayed? When you've prayed, has there been sin, unbelief, wandering thoughts, things that are unworthy of God? Certainly there has. What makes your praying acceptable to God? Through Jesus Christ. That's what does it. He presents us. Ephesians 2:13. It speaks of us being in Christ. We were one time far off, but were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians takes up the same thing in verses 20 through 22. The same very idea, different words, but it is Christ who does the presenting. This is a new standing. It's also a gracious standing. The plan, the provision, the purchase, the power to obtain are all of God. Some of the old Puritan theologians, and many since, like to draw fine logical distinctions in the types of causes that you have in justification. The moving cause is what? It's the grace of God. The meritorious cause, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect obedience. The instrumental cause is faith. We'll deal with that more fully later, but it's a gracious standing. I want you to get it through and never forget it, because it'll bless your heart when you come to pray, when you come to worship. It'll also set you free when you seek to evangelize, when you go to the ungodly, the unclean, the hopeless, the helpless, and the people you look at and you say, why even bother? Remember, it's all of grace. He justified us freely by His grace. Chapter 4, verse 4, he deals with that again. He justifies whom? The ungodly. Not people who could work for it. If you work for it, you've earned it. This sets you free. You can go to anybody with the gospel. You can face the most unpromising situation, and you know you have a God who's able to see it to the uttermost. His salvation is gracious. It's a firmly established standing. Notice that carefully. By whom also we have had this introduction by faith into this grace wherein we stand, or wherein we are securely established. We are securely established in a right relationship with God. Now that introduction that Christ made, it has already taken place. But as a result, we continue to stand. That's the great thing about Christians. That's why the old Puritans didn't teach the eternal security of the believer. They taught the perseverance of the saints. Well, we take the idea of perseverance as, you know, you just screw up your courage and this is something I hate, but I have to go through with it anyway. That's a perversion of what they meant. What they meant was, first, that God perseveres in His grace to us. He doesn't give us up. And as a result, we go on with God. You know, American churches tonight are populated to a large degree with candidates for the lake of fire who have been told that there are Christians. And then there are unsaved people. And in between you have this whole amorphous glob of people who are just carnal Christians. Now, unlike some Reformed, I believe there's such a thing as a carnal Christian. But I believe that most of the people who are being told that they have eternal security, even though they're carnal Christians, are people who have never been born again, never been saved. I want you to see this very, very clearly. that God's people go on with him. Now, they're not perfect. They're not sinless, though they wish they could be. But something radical has happened. They're standing secure in the grace of God. They're not frustrating the grace of God. They're not making the grace of God a cloak for their own malicious living. They're standing in that grace. It's a firmly established standing. As Paul put it in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:1, he spoke of his gospel wherein ye stand. Christians, true Christians, stand in the gospel. Certain things that Christians can't do. I've heard it said, and I've talked to you about people who have said this to me, I'm saved and I can do anything but go to hell. No, you can't. Because if you're saved, there's certain things you can't do. It's impossible. For example, a Christian, a truly justified man, is firmly established in this grace. He stands in the gospel. And he's never going to deny that gospel. No saved man can ever denounce Jesus Christ. Didn't Paul say that? Writing to the Corinthians? You cannot by the Spirit call Christ accursed. And if you don't know the Spirit, he says in Romans 8, you're not saved. You're none of his. There are certain things a Christian cannot do. A Christian is firmly established in grace. He's firmly established in the gospel. A Christian cannot go back to a doctrine of works. That's why I wonder about these people who say they were Baptists or Presbyterians and they were evangelicals and they were this and they were that and the other thing, and they go back into Romanism. And some of them tonight are parading their way around America, attacking the very gospel that they once professed to believe and upholding the unholy perversions of Roman theology. And I have to say, I do not believe that a man who has ever been genuinely saved can go back to a gospel of works. Certain things a Christian can't do. Why? Because he's firmly established in the grace that gives him justification. He's firmly established to stand in the gospel. So this is a new standing, a gracious standing, firmly established standing. And thank God it's a legally perfect standing. And that's what Christians need to focus on, and we will be focusing on as we apply and as Paul leads us through the next verses to apply this truth to the very trying circumstances of life. We have a legally perfect standing. We're justified. Do you realize that the judge of heaven and earth has already given his verdict on every believer in Christ? Do you realize that? Justification is a judicial verdict rendered by the judge from the high court of heaven. Acquitted of all charges. Paul uses slightly different language in Colossians chapter 2. But he's talking about the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What's happened to them? They're blotted out. They're gone. Acquitted of every charge. Now you just take that and run with it the next time you're in battle with the devil and the accuser of the brethren is roaring in your ear. Remember what God has said. God justifies. Fully acquitted of all charges. The law satisfied, and its voice no longer raised against us. Now that law that once called for our destruction is a witness for our acceptance. For the law is satisfied. Guilt is removed. All liability to punishment gone. And we are to anticipate something toward the end of the chapter. We are constituted righteous
because of the imputed righteousness of Christ, and therefore received into total acceptance with God. Total, unreserved acceptance with God. We see that more fully when we come to discuss the meaning of peace with God. This is a legally perfect standing. We were singing that hymn tonight, Complete in Thee. What a wonderful statement. Complete. Nothing lacking. Nothing missing. Complete in Christ. Is Christ perfectly righteous? Is there anything in Christ that would leave him unworthy of heaven? Has Christ earned, as the man Christ Jesus, has he earned the full reward of glory? Then every believer in Christ has not something like, but has identically the same reception as he has, on the same basis as he has received it. For what he did in this, he did as the head of his people on their behalf. It's a perfect legal standing, and therefore it's complete and unalterable. We stand, we have been established. I leave you with the words of Isaiah. Beautiful statement. Chapter 45 and verse 17. Israel, I realize there are prophetic overtones here, but there's certainly great gospel truth. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And that's what I call eternal security. This is Paul's theme. The standing that believers have in Christ. Let me ask you tonight, first, do you know anything about this in your own experience? Have you ever come into faith in Christ? You've quit hanging on to the filthy rags of your own righteousness. There's a poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. You've cast yourself upon the grace of God and received as his gift righteousness unto life eternal. If you've never got to Christ, he's the one you need to get to. If you're still foolishly trying to present yourself to God, you need to come to the great introducer, the great presenter. He can bring you in. This whole idea of introduction, and some classical texts has the idea of introducing into the royal presence chamber. Well, it's a much higher introducing here into the very presence of the King of Glory. He can bring you in. So if you've never got to Christ, it's time to seek him while he may be found. And if you are saved, I want you to understand the basis of all your Christian thinking, and then later all your Christian acting, is to understand the fundamental truth of what it is to be a Christian, to be justified, to have a new, perfect, established, unalterable standing or status that's legally perfect before God, on the basis of which I can face life, death, judgment, and eternity. Think it through. For that, my friend, if I understand Paul aright, and I think I do in this, that is the foundation of everything that you will be asked to endure in life or in death, or ever asked to do for God in your service for Christ. The key to all is knowing your full justification and how to argue from that and act upon that in the situations that we face in this world.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.